What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Become a Local Leader. And on today's show, we have Dragos Ruxandu, one of the authors of the new real estate business book, Becoming a Local Leader. This book features 23 top producing agents' stories who, through their story, share their mindset and their strategies on how to be a successful real estate agent in their community. And with Dragos's chapter, you'll really start to learn just how to be successful as an entrepreneur, because that's what real estate agents are. They're business owners, they're entrepreneurs. That's what you've got into. And it's important to start learning what is the mindset of an entrepreneur versus someone who just has a job or someone who's just a salesperson. And then through this book and through these chapters, you're going to be learning how to build your business on relationships and referrals. So this is the anti-advertising, because most agents do want to build a business on relationships and referrals. It's more fun, it's more profitable. And so how do you do it? And one of the themes that you'll see in all these chapters is this idea of belief, that you need to believe that you can grow your business. You need to believe that you can grow your business through relationships and referrals, that you can be a leader of your community, that you can be successful. Because without this belief, you won't really get anywhere. And if you want to become the go-to agent for your area, you have to start with believing it. Believing that you can crack into the market and get market share and take down the person who's not currently number one. And Dragos's story is really good for people who are new to business and entrepreneurship, because it really shows you, I think, how to think yourself into that result. Because your association, your brokerage, your family, your friends, depending on your background, where you're from, they may not be teaching you this. And it's chapters like this that will teach you how to be a successful business owner in real estate. So I'm really excited. And thank you, Dragos, for being here for the show.
Thank you, Grant. Thank you so much for taking this interview. I'm looking forward to talk about this chapter. And I'm really excited to be part of this project. And I thank you for doing it.
Yeah, I think the industry doesn't need another book about scripts. They don't need another book about how to do advertising and how to convert leads. I think they really need a book on how to be a leader of the community, how to be a successful business owner. And that's what I'm most excited about this book. And so my first question is, you wrote this chapter with trying to give a message to agents. Why don't you kind of let everyone know what is kind of the main message that you're trying to give real estate agents through your chapter?
Okay, so the important thing in real estate, because we talk about real estate, but it's really in life in general, you said it, it's believing. The belief is the energy. When we have belief, we have motivation and desire and energy to do what we want. So the main point is that we create our life with our thoughts, our speech, and our writing. And that we have to have that belief. And when you have that belief, it becomes easier. It becomes easier in all the area in your life, including real estate, professional, friends, family, your girlfriend or boyfriend, and the colleagues or people that watch what you're doing and are inspired by what you're doing. So you influence that with belief. And that's the message, the main message.
Now, I agree that everything starts with belief. And I think some new agents, when they get into the business, maybe they've been struggling and COVID hit them really hard. They've been in the industry for a long time and now there's all this new stuff, new technology, new methods, and people start to lack belief.
Yes.
For various reasons. Can you walk us through maybe a time where you lacked belief And then you took certain actions to increase your belief to the level that it needed to be to get the success that you wanted to have.
Okay. So when we lack belief, a lot of time we'll procrastinate. And action, it's the antidote. That, you know, we all know that, most of us. It's, the difference is to apply it, you know. But that's what it is. It's action. So every time I lose my belief or my motivation or my vision or my confidence or my self-image is not where it's supposed to be, I always do something. Because I realized if I do something, an action, in a sphere of my life that it's important, and that action, it's towards a productive result, something good in my life. And if I do action in that area, all the other areas will start working and it will reward me for doing action in a specific area that it's good for me. For an example, as a real estate broker, action, inefficient action will be to look at papers and do a lot of clerical work. Productive action will be to follow up with 10 people every day. It doesn't matter what happens. It's just doing the action. And anyone that does this, following up with 10 people every day or five for 2 weeks, you will see what happens with other things around that, not only in the follow-up. Everything will start working better. So action is also the name of the game. Believe so and act.
you said something I really liked there, because I think it's so important for people to start learning what is productive, profit-producing action and activities. Mm-hmm. And what is just busy work that doesn't really move the business forward, that you got to limit as much as possible, that where agents all the time, they're like, I'm so busy. And they're not getting the results they want. And so they maybe don't know and maybe need to hear an outsider looking in who's experienced themselves or seen other agents be busy doing things that are not productive, not profit producing, and understand the difference to learn what to cut, what to stop doing, what to do less of, and what to do more of, and maybe what to start doing. So if you can, you talked about clerical work and follow up, you know, it's like you got to do some administrative work, but you got to reduce it as much as possible or delegate it. And you want to follow up with your database, follow up with your clients. What else have you noticed or experienced and reflected on as I need to do less or none of this and more of this kind of work?
Okay. So of course, clerical work, it's important. And I believe that it's important to do it until you master it. So you have to master. There's a lot of people, and me sometimes also, but very rare. But there's a lot of people that believe that they have to delegate immediately. Like they do something, it's not working well, but they delegate it. Mm-hmm. And that's it's a mistake, because you have to do it, master it, then teach someone to do it. And that's delegation. That's one thing that I have to talk about. Not delegate immediately. You have to master it, then delegate it. That's one point. Productive action. It's relationships. I strongly believe that almost like everything in life, if we look at it, it's relationships. It's relationships. And this is what we have to do. We have to build a relationship. We have to understand that do business with people that know, like, and trust. We all know that. And we have to understand what like, know, and trust means. And if we apply those three in the productive area of our business by building relationships, then everything else will follow. I like to call that to build something from necessity, which means at one point we will need an assistant. At one point we will need an assistant with money or a clerical work. Mm-hmm. And that comes from necessity. So when we need it, we build it. After we master it, then we delegate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doing as needed.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I think people rush the gun a little bit too quickly. And and it is a good point to, like, I've always found a lot of success doing the job first before someone else does, which can sometimes suck. But the reason is, not only how do I hire someone for it if I don't even know what the job is like, what character traits would be good for it.
That's it.
And I would only know that by doing it. So I could find someone who would be better for it than me. And then how do I manage that person correctly? Because if I haven't done it, then how do I know if they're doing it fast, doing it slow, doing it good, doing it bad? You know, that is a very good point. And but to try to eventually delegate it, so you can give yourself more time for serving clients, which is relationships,
exactly.
Prospecting, which is relationships, and follow-up,
exactly.
Which is relationships.
Exactly. That's it.
It's very simple.
It's
okay,
very
now
simple.
Let's zoom out for a sec, and I know we haven't even really introduced you yet, so why don't you kind of just give people an idea, kind of who you are, where'd you come from? I know you have a very interesting story that you go into in your chapter a little bit. Why don't you give people kind of a sense of who you are and why'd you get into real estate?
Perfect. So I was born in Romania in 1980. Romania was a communist country until 89, part of the Eastern Bloc. So I had that experience of communism, which shaped my personality a little bit, because I'm a inspiring person, my personality. I like a lot people a lot. And that system, the communism, also developed the logical side of me and more a disciplined side. And I believe because of that, I can see situations and human beings in a simpler way than most people, because I have those two ways of thinking, emotions and logical. And they both can be very strong, extremes, both of them, which is very rare. So when I was 10 years old, so after the revolution in 1990, I wanted to do things, because my parents were sending me to my grandparents 2 months every year during summer. And that was in Brasov, which is a city in Transylvania. And I was living in Bucharest, which is the capital, with my parents going to school. And July and August, I was going to Brasov every year. And I wanted to do something because there were no kids of my age in the family or near the house. So I was being alone. And because of that, I developed a way of being relaxed and in control, even being alone. So I really like people. I need to be with people, but I also can be alone, and I need to be alone. And so I was 10 when my grandfather trusted me and let me sell the apples from the garden outside the house on the corner. And that was very, very exciting. And, you know, I did that for about 2 or 3 years. Every summer I was doing that. I was really happy. And when I was 13, my grandfather also trusted me, and he went with me to the market, the flea market, against what my grandmother and my mother, suggested, because it's really dangerous in the market. And, you know, they have thieves and knives and gangs and, you know. But my grandfather trusted me. He went with me two times, the first two times, and then I was going alone. So at 13 years old, I was selling secondhand clothes, and Atari used Atari games at a flea market. Mm-hmm. And that really, really transformed my life. It was at 13, I had to deal with adults, and sometimes adults that want to steal, and also intimidation and human behaviors in general. For I did that for two summers. So for about 4 months, I had to deal with this, 13, 14, and almost 15 years old. And that teached me that if you don't stop, if you get back up, eventually you will succeed. That's what I learned. And it's imprinted in me. That's a real big point that I want to make out to everybody. So then at 15 years old, we came to Canada with my family, my parents, and my brother, July 4th, 1996. I remember it was the Independence Day for the States. I didn't know that, but now I celebrate it. We're not in the States, but it's still good.
Yeah.
It's symbolic. For me, it was really good. My mom, too. We were so happy for, you know, going away from Romania and coming to Canada. I was happy for about a year. I didn't need anything but being here. And in the book, it's something really, really funny. And I want to say, tell the story. The first day, after a few days, my dad bought me a bicycle. And I went to the video store. In Romania, we didn't have video stores. We're like VHS, old VHS, not good quality, under the counter. You know, you cannot, you know, police shouldn't see you. And here there's video stores with hundreds of movies, good quality. Yeah. So I went there with my bike. I let my bike, I leave it outside in the parking lot. I went inside and I took about 30, 40 minutes, you know, to
choose. Take it all in.
Yes, exactly. You understand? I was so happy, you know, seeing images. And sometimes I'm going outside and looking outside the window, see if my bike is still there. And it was still there for 30, 40 minutes, unattended, unchained, nothing. And that's something that really, really like got to me. It was really funny.
Things that being in North America that you sometimes take for granted, you know?
Oh, yeah. If people should live like 6 months or a year, even Cuba or Romania, yeah, they will be so happy coming here. And yeah, so that was when I came here.
In your chapter, you talk about the flea market.
Yep.
And it's funny how much similarities there are to real estate and being a vendor at the flea market. One of which being, like you said, you're dealing with all these personalities. And I find that in real estate, that is definitely true. There's a lot of personalities in real estate, a lot of big personalities, a lot of strong personalities. And what advice do you have for agents is how to deal with them so that you and that person both leave the interaction, the negotiation, happy?
Okay. So what I realized is that if I am interested, I become interesting. So, and big personalities, which is big ego, they like to know that they are the best. Now, if we do it the right way, we will have a friend for life. If we do it the needy way, that person will lose respect for us. So that doesn't mean to say you're the best, na na na, and all that stuff. No, that's the wrong way, the needy way. what I do is we learn how to read, and immediately we find a quality of that person. And it's after a while, a few months, if you concentrate on this, it's really easy to see the qualities of people, even if they have a big ego. And you talk about that quality when that person uses the quality in the transaction. So if they're good at negotiating, they're smooth at negotiating, then I would say this transaction was so easy and the negotiation seemed like there was no negotiation. You are really good at it. Thank you so much. And believe me, after that, the person really most of the time does whatever you want. It's even better than just not to have trouble with it. Mm-hmm. It will become someone that helps you. So find the quality, wait for that person to use that quality in the interaction with you, and then you compliment that person because that's authentic.
Yeah.
And the other person will feel it. If it's feeling not authentic, it'll lose respect for you.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice. Okay, so let's go into, you've built yourself up in Quebec. You've built your business up, and that's what agents want to do. They want to pick an area and they want to be the local market expert. They want to be a leader of the community and they want to have a successful real estate business. And there's things that you've done that have worked and there's things that you've done that have not worked.
Exactly.
Let's start with the things that have not worked. And maybe even why, because maybe they just didn't work for you, but they might work for other people. But from your experiences, what are the things that have not worked for you and why do you think so?
Perfect. So when I started, I was already doing Amway, which is the MLM, very known. I suggest everyone to do it. 3 to 5 years, be on their continuing system. Don't even do the business, you know? But beyond that, go to every rally that you qualify, every seminar monthly, read the weekly book, the monthly book and the weekly CD, listen to it. It's amazing, okay? So because of that, I understood immediately the relationships. So when I started, I partnered with another broker, experienced broker, and we were sending flyers and I was doing door knocking, calling on expireds and FISBOs. All in the area that we were sending flyers. So door-to-door worked in a sense that I had listings, but for the time that I did it, it's not worth it. And I believe I was doing the right way. I was not imposing. I was smiling and giving my card, and that's it, you know? So it's expireds worked well. In this market right now, because they sell really fast, when a house expires now, it either has problems or it's way too expensive. So I would not do expireds right now. FISBOs is the same. You know, a lot of them, especially here in Quebec, they sell their house really fast without a broker. They sell it for less. They lose money.
Yeah.
But they seem not to believe that, or they don't want to believe it. So again, I worked and I have an automatic system, as you know, and I got one listings, 4 appointments, maybe, I don't remember, it's 4 at least, out of 500 with FISBOs, which is very low. And my automatic system, I paid about $150 for the texts, automatic texts and emails with high level. So that costs me. Then I had to call about 80 that answered. So for the time and the money, it's not worth it. It's not worth it now.
Got it.
Yeah, I go step by step so people understand.
Yep.
Then the sphere of influence and database. That's the thing.
That works.
So that works. That works. You have 100 names. It's really, you call them twice a year. You get between 5 and 15 sales, 5 to 15%. It's that I challenge everyone to try it. So you got 100 names that you have a relationship with, a good relationship, you will have at least 5 transactions in that year if you call them twice a year. So it's not the end of the, you know, the world, but you got those 5 from you, or 10, 8, it's at least 5. And the, you know, you do it second year, third year, so then you get 5, 7, 9, 11, you understand?
Yeah.
So that's one source. The other source that works, it's lead gen. It works in a sense that you have a 0.5, 1, 2% success rate. Maybe 3, but that's very rare. So out of the 100 leads you get, you buy or you develop, you will get between 1 and 3 sales. That costs money and energy. So that, I believe, it's the second way or source to get your business from. Database, sphere of influence, database, our database, lead gen, and you should do your lead gen yourself or have someone to help you with it. Like right now in my team, what I do is that anyone can be independent. I will build their system myself for them for free if they come to EXP on my team for free. And it will cost a few hundred bucks a month for 1 or 2 sales, mm-hmm. which is good. And the third one, which I believe we should spend the most time on it, is building relationships. Because database, it's relationship. Lead gen, it's a little bit, but it's still cold because you hustle. You get their info. You call them. It's not the same, okay? And the third one, which is Park Bench, you know, you do the interview, but it's true. It's, I believe, is the best after database and relationship and friends. It's Park Bench because you're building relationships first. Second, you got the SEO. A Park Bench structure is really good at indexing. Mine get indexed in less than 3 days, sometimes the next day. And I try, I did. I have, as you know, I have about 60 videos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that indexes very well as an SEO. Then you got the concept of community. And the concept of community, it was very good and a trend a few years ago. And then I was talking about it, buy local. And then 2 years ago when I started with Park Bench was buy local. But in the last year, it's just exploded. Community, buy local, shop local, you know. So because of that, because of the community mindset, people engage. So the community engages. It takes maybe 3 months, 6 months, a year. It doesn't matter that much. But with the Park Bench structure, you get indexed online, you get your community to engage and build relationships with it. And the third one, you are present on the social networks with it automatically. Because 5 years ago, when I started, it was in, I used to do Commission Junction and Google AdWords in 2001. So I was, so for the past 20 years, I saw what happened with the AdWords and Facebook. I used to pay 30 bucks a month for Facebook and I was having a reach. People all over South Shore were seeing me for 30 bucks a month. That was in like 2006, 2007, you know?
Yeah.
So I saw that. I saw that. And right now, you cannot just post photos of you on Instagram.
No.
To get like people to reach, because it's you're like in 2007 and nobody was posting. The first broker that posted got the first place for 3 years. It's not like that anymore. Taking photos of yourself or you cutting the lawn or eating a restaurant or, you know, in a restaurant, it's not working and it will not work. What we have to do, we have to stand out. We have to do something different. And that's what Park Bench does. So we build a relationship with the business owners in the city, the community engages, and the business owners of that city are grateful, give us referrals, also share the interview that we make with them on their social networks. And that's the key I don't know if you will talk about it, or but this is the key. It's the reshare and the engagement that the other person does, and their followers see you.
They I've always been, word of mouth was always like the thing that I always learned. Like, that's the best way to grow a business. Word of mouth. And I just kept asking people as I learned it. I said, well, how do I get it? How do I get people to promote me and what I'm doing? And I feel like we kind of figured that out with Park Bench, which really just goes back to the philosophy of, if you do something for someone else, they're going to want to do something in return. If you promote someone else, they're going to want to promote you. If you, and then in this interview system, if you interview people in your community and you promote them and make them look good in the interview, what do you think they're going to do with it? They're going to promote it. And then when they share it to their audience, it's amazing how many people reshare it. That has been something I have been pleasantly surprised at. As a person who's not very big into social media, I am blown away how many people like and comment and share and reshare the interviews that the agents do on the platform. You know, it's unbelievable. So, you know, I want people to pick up the book and learn more about you and learn more about the philosophies that you have picked up over life that have made you successful. When you think about, okay, put yourself in the eyes of a realtor who's trying to figure it out, trying to improve, trying to build a bigger business, and there's this new book, Becoming a Local Leader, why do you think they should get the book and read it?
I would say because I wrote the chapter in it. I just want to, before answering, Grant, because I did Amway, it's the relationship is really important. And it's the same here, really. You understand? The relationship will make Park Bench work. That's, I didn't say that, and I want to say it to be clear. It's the relationship. The system, it's amazing, but it's the relationship that you build.
When I created this, it was the 100 names. I want to get that 100 names that you talk about to 200. I want to get that to 300. Because if I have a bigger database of high quality relationships, mm-hmm. who know me, like me, trust me, and I think the X factor is those people want to do something for you because you did something for them first. So how big of a database and sphere of influence, how many relationships can you have? The more relationships you have, the more business you'll get. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. And something that I heard 20 years ago, Michael Dell said that the person that can mix high tech with high touch will kill it in the new information era. Mm. And this is exactly what Amway does with the high tech and high touch. And this is exactly what Park Bench does. You have the high tech side of it, and you got the high touch, which is the local leader, the broker. With this, no one can compete with high tech and high touch, even if they have if they have 5 times, 10 times better high touch than you.
It's true. You know, technology in its highest form, I think, is supposed to make us better humans, not replace it.
Exactly. So the book, I believe that. When I started with Park Bench, I watched your videos, and I saw a lot of things that I liked in your personality, your vision, your motivation, your strength. And when you talked about the book project, I was interested. I want to be part of it. And after that, I realized this is something more than just a book, because the way we did it, you did it, because you are the leader for this book, and you help us. It's a tool. I believe this is a tool for any realtor, young or with experience, to start from zero and to kill it in a 3 to 5 years period, because it takes time. It takes time to build a relationship, and we can use lead gen for a year or two, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the, you know, it comes back to return on investment. So the time we put in, how much do we get back? Like you said, you put it so much better. Last time you said there's no emotion, right? It's numbers in business. And you were really serious about it. And I liked it. So that's what it is. It takes time. This book is amazing. It's more than I expected. And it will help, because I believe that the most of the chapters and the people that are on it are authentic, and there are the kind of people that really shared what they believe it works.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. So that I believe it's a powerful book for that.
Yeah. And what I'm most excited about is when the real estate industry thinks about the type of realtors they want to represent the industry, to be the gold standard of the industry. I think the future is not the master of lead gen.
No.
The future is the community leader.
Exactly. Exactly, Grant. Exactly. This, you nailed it again with this book, Become a Local Leader. The words are perfect. It says everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited for people to pick it up. There's a lot of really cool stories in your chapter. It was a really fun read. I think what you did really well is talk about how does a person become a leader, become a business owner that is successful, because it's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of being. It's a different way of acting. Than a person who just has a job somewhere else. And it's very important that realtors become a business owner if they weren't already one beforehand, which most aren't. So I want to thank you for being a part of the book project, for sharing the details of your life and in the chapter and your pearls of wisdom. And if people want to get in touch with you, if people like you, they want to learn from you more, maybe they want to join your team because they need a leader that can help bring them up. How can they get in touch with you?
So my name is Dragoș Ruxandu, and the website is myname.com. And my email is myname@gmail.com. I'm on every social media and Spotify, Apple Podcast.
Just reach
and
out.
Also, people watching, listening,
you probably won't find another Dragoș Ruxandu in the world. So just Google it.
Exactly.
And you'll find him. He's a wonderful person to work with. So I want to thank you for being on the show. Subscribe to the podcast and the YouTube show so you can watch all the other interviews, learn from all the other local leaders, learn from all these other real estate agents who have built their business through relationships and referrals. It's the most fun way. It's the most profitable way. It's the right way. So thank you again. And we'll talk to you again, everyone, soon.
Thank you so much, Grant, for this. Thank you so much. And talk to you soon as well.